Good morning, church. It's a gift to be here with you. It's a gift to continue pressing into this truth that God has so much more for us. If you got your Bibles with you, I want you to turn to the book of Luke. We're going to jump right into the scripture, and then we're going to press ahead here. And so, Father, just we invite you to open our eyes. Many of us have heard this story. Many of us know this story as it appears at this time of year, Lord, but we believe you have so much more for us. Open our ears to hear, our eyes to see. We're going to be in Luke chapter 1, starting at 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. For you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." And then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I believe many of us are feeling barren. I believe many of us, in the midst of having so much, feel empty. I believe many of us are feeling barren because we've tried so hard in so many ways to fix and to fill our lives, and it's just not working. Let me give you some hope, church. With God, nothing is impossible. The barrenness that you feel, the frustration that you have, maybe the loneliness that you have, there's an end to it. And the end is found in Jesus. Church, I want us to understand something that's essential here, and I think the first part we'll get, the second part we'll understand, and the third may be a challenge. Are you ready? The first is this: as the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, the Holy Spirit arrives on Mary, she revealed Jesus. Right? Holy Spirit comes upon Mary, she actually reveals Jesus. She gave birth to Jesus. As the Holy Spirit comes upon Scripture, and as the Holy Spirit gave guidance to those who wrote Scripture, Scripture reveals Jesus. So the first one, the Holy Spirit upon Mary revealing Jesus, is a miracle. The Holy Spirit on Scripture is also a miracle. This is one of the ways that we that we see, that we know who Jesus is. The third is that as the Holy Spirit comes upon the believer. So any of us who have confessed that Jesus is Lord, as we make that confession, we reveal Jesus. Now that miracle of the Holy Spirit coming upon something is a miracle in all of those situations. Do you hear me? Are you with me? We are actually walking miracles. The miracle of Jesus being made manifest through you and me is no less a miracle, and it's so important that we understand that. It's so important that we understand that the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit who resides in us. How much more does that give us access to? Anybody? So much more. So much more. Here's the thing. The Spirit of God coming upon the natural does something. It opens our eyes to the eternal reality around us. And see, anytime we take our eyes off of the eternal, anytime we stop thinking about the eternal, we lose sight. We make assumptions, temporal assumptions. We make these errors in judgment because all we're thinking about is the short term, the immediate. One person put it this way: eternity is the cornerstone of all logic and reason. And anytime we lose sight of it, we're bound to come to temporary and false conclusions. Now, anybody remember drama in school, high school, junior high, anything like that? Anybody take drama? Four. Okay, a few more. All right. All right, and we've got different generations, so I know that you're going to be able to track with me. There's this author, speaker, pastor. His name is Francis Chan, a gifted communicator, great guy. I know that many of us have heard of him. And he did this talk once that just stuck with me. It was ingrained in my brain. And I know that some others of us have seen it because it's been mentioned to me even this in the past few months. And it was this perspective of eternity, the truth of eternity. Okay? Now, I'm going to need you to imagine with me. We're all going to do a practice. Are you ready? Now, for some of us who can't stand drama, this is going to be a bit of a stretch. For some of us who love drama, get ready, because it's going to be, I don't know, we'll see. All right, so I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to grab my eternity box of wire. I'm not a drama major, so don't judge me too carefully. Do you see my box? You'd think it would be really heavy, but it's the finest cable that actually doesn't weigh that much. Okay. Little grunt. But it goes on forever. Okay, now, what we're going to do is, to help us understand, we're going to pass this eternal cable among and throughout everybody. Okay, now are you ready for this? Are you ready? Okay, now, I'm going to take out, does anybody have a knife on them? Got it, thank you. Quick, I like it. I'm going to cut open the top. Oh, and they did the sides too, so I'm going to cut open the sides. Are you with me? Are you seeing the box? Okay, oh, and I just realized it's got one of those cable feeders on the front. Did you ever do that? Okay, so actually I'm going to just leave the top and I'm just going to pull it out of here, right there. Okay, now this is set, it's stable, it's not going to go anywhere. I'm just going to walk it down here. I'm going to feed it around the speaker. I love the looks that I'm getting right now. Because I know that some people are going, this is ridiculous, what are you doing? This actually is one of the things that's going to say, Kyle, I'm going to pass you. OK, Okay, so what you're going to do is you're going to take it, you're going to pass it to Meredith. Meredith, you're going to throw it across, and we're just going to go aisle to aisle to aisle. Okay, it's going to go, we just want to go this way. Are you with me? Is everybody okay? Okay. Laugh a little bit, okay? Now, this is eternal wire. This is eternity wire, okay? You ready? Okay, so go ahead and pass it. You know, it's actually got a weight on it that you can throw it. You don't have to get up. I took that part out of it, okay? Now, pass it over. Make sure everybody's got it. Now, you got to keep it in your hand as it threads through, okay? Keep it threading through. And we're going to keep it in just a single line, okay? So we're making our way up and through. Nice work, everybody. We're about a third of the way there at this point. Okay, so while that's passing, keep it in your mind. I'm going to read this again, okay? Keep the cable passing, okay? You can multitask. I know you can. Now listen. Eternity is the cornerstone of all logic and reason. Anytime we lose sight of eternity, we are bound to come to temporary and false conclusions. Hey, you guys are doing so great at this. Little chuckle, hey? This feels a little silly. I know it does. You're okay, though. You're okay. We're among friends. And if you're visiting, we are so glad you're here. We don't do this every Sunday. Beautiful. Where are we at right now with that cable? We're into the back, into the dark, where I cannot see. I cannot see back there. How's it going? Across and over. Well done. Did it get to the back corner there? Okay, so we still have the back corner over there. Yeah, and it's over. Sharon, did you get your hands on it? Okay, Sharon's got it. And then it's got to go to the back there. Okay, so now we got it to the back. Okay, now I need somebody. Okay, last person to get it over there. I need you to take it out to the foyer. Can you take it out to the foyer for me? Or maybe Russ can. Okay, Russ, and then I want you to go to Starbucks. Just kidding, you can go. Don't go to Starbucks. Eggnog latte, though. Eggnog latte. Now, does somebody have a fine point pen that I can borrow? Thank you, Aaron. Oh, and the Major family, well done. Beautiful, I've got two. Okay, so. Now, I open up the box here, and it seems like it's the same amount of cable that's in here. Is that crazy? Crazy. Now, I'm going to take this fine point marker, and I'm just going to mark this cable right. I think my box is here. I didn't want it going over the candles because I don't want it to get burnt. They're fake. I'm going to mark it. Okay. Everybody pull it through, pull it through, pull it through. Buddy, you're walking right through this. Just kidding. We're good. Now listen. Eternity is like that string that we just passed through everybody. Through everybody. Through everybody. And Russ, if he were going up to Starbucks, he could go up to Starbucks. He could go further. He could do anything. Now listen, what I want you to hear is that little mark that we made on the string that's now being pulled because Russ is off to Starbucks. We have a beginning, right? So that's our beginning. Everything on the other side of that is what's, or on this side of it, is what's to come. Eternal perspective. So we have to have eternal perspective as we look at life. In order to understand this idea that there is so much more, we have to step back and see it in light of eternity. Now, Mary is called highly favored, right? I want you to think of what it would have been like for Mary in that moment. Angelic visitation, this announcement that she is going to be put into a role of eternal significance, but also of social outcast. See, outside of wedlock, outside of the cultural norms, outside of what was expected and natural, she was going to be bearing a child now. She would have this threat of her husband wanting to divorce her. She would have a king murdering infants around, trying to get to her son to kill him. And yet she's called highly favored. See, if all she did was stand in the moment of every situation that she faced, there would have been no way for her to understand the truth and the reality that she was favored, favored by God. And yet, as soon as you step back and you look at the eternal cable and the reality of eternity, that eternity is the cornerstone of logic, all of a sudden, it made sense. Now here's the part that we finished last week, was talking about what are you called to? We know at a wide out level, every single one of us is called into relationship with Father. We're called to be made one with Him. We're called into this place of mission and worship with Him. But I believe every single one of us has this essential call on our lives. So we finished last service by saying, what is that call and where are you at? Are you discouraged and have you let it go? Maybe you've never heard it. Maybe you've completely lost sight of it. Maybe you've surrendered it because of it being too long or situational difficulties. Here's the thing. Mary was called highly favored. Mary received that miracle. The same Holy Spirit that did that miracle now lives in us, and it's because of the work of Jesus that we are called favored. Now, hear me out. I am not minimizing who Mary was, what Mary did, her role, amazing. But what I want to shine light on, church, is that you are highly favored. Is that you are called into what would be in the natural terms called impossible. You are called to step into the impossible. And what I mean by impossible is to be doing something that you can't do on your own. Now, clearly, we as a church are called to love people. We're called to serve people. We're called to take meals to people. We're called to pick up the poor. We're called to all of those natural things. And again, just like I don't want to minimize Mary, I don't want to minimize the essential pieces of those, because those are clearly scriptural and clearly what we're called to do as the church. Agreed? Here's the thing. Anybody can actually do those things. And many people who don't know Jesus do those things, and they do them really well, and it's awesome. But we are called to so much more. We're called to press into the area that we can't go on our own. Nothing is impossible with God. So do you know what your call is? Do you know what your specific call is? And here's the flip side to it. If you feel qualified on your own for that call, there's a good chance you don't know what your call is yet. Because it's only as we move into that place of going, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I'm unqualified for it. I need you. I need your fullness. God calls us to the impossible. Okay, back to Luke 1:26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to this virgin. The angel arrives. We know it's Mary. And 28 says, coming in, the angel says to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Here's the thing. Normally, the rejoicing and the celebrating and all of that happens on the flip side. When do you throw the baby shower? You throw the baby shower after the baby's arrived. And yet Mary's told right up front, going into the situation that's going to make her an outcast, you need to rejoice. How is it possible for her to rejoice? The only way she can rejoice in the midst of potentially crazy hardship, in the midst of life disrupting situation and chaos, in the midst of the political arena around her being oriented all of a sudden onto her. The only way she can do that is with the favor, is with the eternal perspective. See, because when favor comes, with it comes immense blessing and gifting and empowerment, and also comes great challenge. Great challenge. Here's the thing, church. If we walk around unaware of the favor that we have, unaware of the favor that we carry, unaware of the favor that we have access to, not because of our work, but because of what Jesus has done for us. Without that favor, it becomes next to impossible to fulfill the assignment that God has given us. See, favor is the difference between those who fulfill the call of God in their lives and those who do not. Let's keep going here. And 31, Luke 1:31, "Behold, you'll conceive in your womb, bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and be called Son of the Highest. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David." Okay, so that's the first father-son relationship of his father David. "And he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever." Mary says, "How can this be?" And the angel explains, "The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you." And here's where it says the second one, "That Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." See, Jesus is called both the Son of God, the Most High, and he's also called the Son of David. When we hear this, we need to pause and consider what is it that our God, the creator of everything, would be willing to share his fathership with a man? It's in Scripture, it's there forever that Jesus is the Son of God and he's also the Son of David. See, there was something about David that was significant. Something about David that was essential. And it was simply that David was this man whose heart was after God. His heart was after God. And so we know the story of David. We know he was this runt of the family. We know that he was almost despised by his brothers. We know that he grew up tending the sheep while his brothers were off to war. He slayed lions and bears. He slayed a giant. We know of his failures. We know of his sin. The thing that thread throughout all of those that was the key is that his heart was after God. Acts 13:22 references 1 Samuel, and it's talking about when he had removed him, that's God removed Saul, he raised up for them David as king, to whom he also gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do my will. See, there's so much more to this relationship. There's so much more for us to grab onto, to access, to enter in. As my daughter came up, my daughter Zipporah, she came up during worship and she climbed up and was snuggling in while we were singing and praising. And she leans back and she takes the top part of her sticker off. I don't know if can you see it there? That's for the parents. She takes the top part of the sticker off and she puts it there on my shoulder. And I say, no, you need that for to go back into Sunday school. And then she goes, no. Danielle told me that's the part for the parent. And all of a sudden I saw this tangible, visible reference of our connection between my daughter and I. Right? Now here's the thing. Sometimes we treat our relationship with Jesus as though it's just getting this name tag. Jesus, I love you. I'm lost without you. I believe in you. I'm saved. Thank you, Lord. I'll take that and I'll stamp it on my shoulder and I'm good to go. And I keep going and making similar decisions. Maybe I try to do things a little bit differently. I keep struggling with the same issues. I keep blaming everything around me. I blame God. I blame my situation in my family. I blame the people around me. And I don't change anything. And it was like God was saying when I looked down at this tag, is relationship is so much more. It's so much more than just having my name stamped on you. That's a start, or that's evidence of the start of it. But relationship comes with time. Relationship comes with time in the immediate, spent with God the Father, and with the right perspective on time. And see, favor comes as we live out understanding the eternal perspective, understanding that we carry in us the miracle of the Spirit of God, and that He calls us into this impossible assignment that He will equip us for, and that He will then reward us for as we take that step. Man, our God is a good God. I came across something new, and when information is new and not lived into, it has the potential to come across as just facts. And so I want to make sure that we don't hear this as just facts, which is why I'm telling you it's new. I'm not going to pretend here. Everybody okay with that? All right. So Mary says to the angel, how is it possible? How is it possible that I can have a baby? I've never even been with a man. What you're talking about is crazy. And the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And goes on to explain how her relative Elizabeth, who's older, who has the label barren. Now, I don't know why God keeps printing, making this stand out this morning, like right now, this idea of barren. And it may not be related to you having no children. It may be a situation in your life where you have a name tag of barren, as in hopeless, as in empty, as in there's no chance. It's a desert. And there's no way for anything to come up. I want you to hear that God is saying to you, I will make meadows grow. I will make trees grow in that place where you've been labeled barren. I don't know who that's for, but I want you to hear that. Why? Because nothing is impossible with God. Well, maybe almost nothing. No, you didn't get that. Nothing. No thing is impossible with God. Now here's the piece. The word for nothing is two words. It's no, which means no, and thing. And it's actually attached to the word for God's word. Now there's two words used in scripture for God's word, logos and rhema. Those are the Greek words. Logos generally means scripture as in it's written out. Rhema would be a spoken word. So we understand that no thing, no word. We understand that impossible means without ability. Okay, so I've given you the facts here, and let me reword it for you so you can hear this. No freshly spoken word of God will ever come to you that does not contain its own ability to perform itself. Okay, no freshly spoken, that's the rhema. No freshly spoken word will come to you that does not contain within it the ability to perform itself. That means that when God speaks something over you, He's given with that word that He's given the capacity for it to take place. Nothing is impossible with God. Think of the acorn that grows the tree. The soil around it, the water, all those things are parts, but the actual capacity to grow, all of the makeup for this tree to grow are within the seed. And then it grows. That's like God's word. God's word, God's freshly spoken word is that seed. The prayers, the worship are like the soil and the water. No freshly spoken word of God will ever come to you that does not contain its ability to perform itself. And this is Mary's response. And this is the most beautiful response. Mary says, behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Mary's saying, I just heard that I'm going to be given this impossible task. Impossible because there is no way that she could do it. And she's not overwhelmed with doubt, at least the doubt doesn't incapacitate her. She's not overwhelmed with anxiety, at least the anxiety doesn't derail her. She moves into this posture of receiving, of surrender, of submission to what God has for her. Now here's the challenge for us, church. If we're honest, in the natural things, we struggle sometimes to be obedient. And so I believe there's a call for us to step fully into that natural place of loving people around us, of the instant somebody offends us, instant forgiveness. And even if possible, if you can build it up beforehand, hey, I know I'm going to go into this situation where this person is going to press my buttons. I'm looking ahead, I forgive them. So that when they do it, man, it's okay. See, because as we become faithful in the natural, as we become and take on this posture of surrender into the natural, we begin to step into the supernatural. Now, I believe this is so essential for us, church, because God is calling us to be fully on mission with Him, to be fully surrendered, to take on and do the things that the disciples did. And if we look at what the disciples did, remember Matthew 7:8-10, Jesus talks about this call for the disciples. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse leprosy, drive out demons. Right? We go, oh, well, that was just for the 12. That was just for those guys because they were super special and it was just to get the church rolling. Actually, it wasn't just for the 12. Jesus said it for the 70. And then it wasn't just for the 70. It continued after Jesus. It's continued in various waves and movements since Jesus. And the reality is that the call has never changed for us. The call to the impossible has never changed for us. We just get distracted. Now here's the thing. In order to step into this call to the impossible, we have to be willing to take risk. Do you agree? Which means that we have to start doing it. And I know that. And so in the past little bit, I've started to take some risks. And I've shared some of them in my community group. The most recent one was this guy that came to do some work or was supposed to do some work at our place. And I noticed when he was leaving that there was something going on with his knee and some other things. And so I called him up. In that moment, I had this prompt, this nudge, try and stop the van as he goes, and I just watched the van go. Anybody ever done that? Had the prompt and then just kind of watched it go? Okay, let's be honest. It's okay. And so I said, you know what, God? I confessed that I didn't run after the van, Lord. Just give me an opportunity. So the opportunity came for me to call him, and I said on the phone, I said, hey, you know what? I hear there's these things going on for you, and I want you to know that I believe God is real. I believe God loves you. I believe that He heals. Can I pray for you? And so I prayed. I prayed without excuses. I prayed boldly. I command prayed. I didn't say if it's your will, because I know God's will is for us to walk in health. Right? And the thing is, I haven't heard any miraculous story about that. There's been some other guys that I'm anticipating are one day just going to start walking in. But church, this isn't just your pastor's calling. This is every single one of our calling. Every single one of us is called into the impossible. Right? Every single one of us is gifted with the eternal perspective, which means that in the moment of that red dot, I didn't see what I believed could be, but I know that it's coming. Do you know what I mean? All right, Trev, can you come up, Trev? Do you want me to come down there? Are you okay to? Okay. All right. This is my friend, Trevor, you've seen Trevor and Olivia and little Wyatt up here when they've done their dedication. I'm going to give that to you. Hold it really close when you talk. Now, can I do the preamble, and then we'll just go a little bit back and forth. Okay. So a number of months ago, Trevor came up for prayer, or we were talking on the side for prayer, and I just said, Trevor, man, God has placed it on my heart. And place you specifically as a burden. And I pray for Trevor throughout the week. And every time I see him, I said, hey, come and find me on a Sunday. I want to pray for you. There's some stuff. So just tell us what's going on with your back.
Yeah, so I got, they got to fuse 4 vertebrae together. And so it's pretty daunting when you're at my age getting 4 vertebrae fused together. But now I only got to get 2 fused together.
What happened to your back with the 4? Work related?
No, they say it's genetic actually. Okay. But yeah.
Okay, so Trevor's telling me what's going on with his back. He's telling me about the operation that's coming forward. I'm saying, hey, I mean, let's keep encouraging you. Do what you're doing with the medical system. God uses doctors to bring healing as well. But I said, man, I believe God wants to heal, right? And so we've been praying. And then they were scheduled for surgery. Surgery was scheduled for?
December 3rd, actually, but now it's January 14th.
Okay.
Yeah.
So these guys were away for a little bit, and we were just writing back and forth via text.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I hear the surgery is rescheduled, but tell us about the exchange with the doctor.
You know what, to be honest, it's actually, I didn't even realize it when I was sitting in the doctor's office, because sometimes I think we don't even look for God, like in situations. I know I'm totally guilty of that sometimes, but I'm sitting with this doctor, and he just says, nonchalantly, he says, oh yeah, like he says, the one has healed itself from my previous MRI. Those are his exact words. And I actually missed that. It took me about an hour driving away, and I was like, healed itself, like that just doesn't happen. So yeah, and I mean, I got the MRI.
Okay, so I just want to go woo.
Yeah,
come on. All right, so doctor looks at results and goes, it's healed itself. And here's the thing, I think there's doubt has been so drilled into us that we hear something like that and we go, oh, there's got to be another reason, there's got to be this stuff. And I want us to say, stop it. Man.
Yeah, no, we give credit to Jesus for that one, for sure.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Lord, we celebrate you. All right. So, I want us all to keep praying for Trevor. So, there's another surgery that's scheduled.
Yep.
And our prayer is, in Jesus' name, your whole back would be healed. In Jesus' name, everything would come into alignment. Anything that's not supposed to be there would be gone, and that your back would be made Brandon.
Amen.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Trevor. Thanks. Let's just say thanks for coming up. Yeah, I'll take that. Thanks, buddy. All right. Now, here's the thing, church. Here's the thing. Sometimes healing, and we see it in Scripture, we see it in the way that Jesus did, sometimes it takes time, sometimes it's a miracle, it's an instantaneous thing. But the reality is, whatever the way God is going to do it, is we are called to press towards the impossible. The angel's word to Mary was, with God, nothing is impossible. And what I want to say to church, is, man, there's so much more. There's so much more for us. Don't be discouraged, whatever your circumstances are. There's so much more. Keep the eternal perspective. Okay? Can I invite you to stand? I'm just going to pray us out. Invite our ministry teams, if you want to make your way forward. And so, Father, we just pause right now, Lord, to hear your encouragement, to hear your move, to bring before you whatever we're holding. And if there's one person or two people or however many where that word barren caught for you, I'd just love for you, so everybody keep your eyes closed and your head down, but if you could just put your hand up, just take that initial step. Okay. Yeah, we see the hands. And so, Lord, I speak your possibility over those places of barrenness, because we know that barrenness is not your design. So, Lord, would you grow something new? Would you grow something that's beyond anything we could ask or imagine? Thank you, Lord. And so, Father, we just invite your movement. We invite your revival of us. And so we commit ourselves to you. We commit our ways to you, and with excitement we take these steps ahead. Amen. Amen, church. All right, have an amazing week. If something was heavy or something weighed on your heart, or if you raised your hand, just invite you to grab somebody up here at the front or somewhere else to pray with you. Bless you. Have an amazing week. We'll see you back.